Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Hey, I want to thank everybody for last week. Roundup was terrific. You can go ahead. Roundup was terrific. And I'm going to be honest, you know, I mean, I was wanting to see the big altar call like we saw last year. And God did something different this year. But I'm going to tell you, this past week, I have had more people contact me from things that God did to them in the service and touched them, people that don't normally come here. And I've had more response than any roundup I can remember. And that's what we want, is God to be able to touch you. And we want Him to touch all those folks that come in. And I didn't mention Max and Paulette over here, too. They've been coming for a long time. I appreciate all that you do. You know, we had one lady that handed out flyers all over her neighborhood. One lady that took to all the laundromats. We had our Saturday Night Live group on Thursday night hand out almost 1,300 flyers. You know, just so much, and you invited people. And if you brought 10 people, be sure and let us know, because I've got a few that I'm going to go eat with, but I like to eat. So if you brought 10, don't rob me of that. I thought this week, I thought, why don't we do that every week? Not make chili, but why don't we invite people every week? Huh? Well, five of us, why don't we invite people every week? I got to confess. I was telling everybody, invite people, and all. If I happen to see somebody, I invite them, you know. But I was telling everybody, invite people, and about Wednesday morning, God said, you know, you're telling everybody that, and you didn't invite anybody. How many of y'all don't like it when God talks to me that way? Do you? And so I said, okay, and I sit down, and I invited over 100 people. In a couple hours' time there, just texting them, personal texts, and people that didn't normally come to church. And I just texted over 100 people, and Monday morning I was sitting out in the dark, and I got to trying to remember how many I saw, and I counted over 30 of the people that I invited that came. Now, that sounds good and all that, but God says, why don't you do that every week? I said, I think I'll work on that. But, you know, God told us that got a lot of people out there. He's got them ready to come. And you know, hey, people aren't looking for, they're looking for the real thing. They're looking for God. And, you know, so let's just thank goodness we don't have to be any Keith Moores, or we don't have to be any big shots. We can just be little shots and shoot, you know. You thought I was getting tongue-tied there, didn't you? We can just be little shots and shoot, you know. So anyway, but I appreciate all the hard work. I know, boy, by Sunday night there were some of you that were tired, but know that it was worth it. Well, seemed like I had something else, but I don't know. Is everybody happy? I'm gonna read you something out of Ephesians. I got me a new Bible, and it's so unique because all the pages in Ephesians aren't falling out of it. So I'll have to bring my old one and give it away to somebody. Anyway, so I'm remarking this, but Ephesians is always the chapter that the pages come out of my Bible faster than any other chapters. I don't know why. Sitting back here in 1974, right back there where Tommy's sitting, and Kenneth Copeland came in walking in here. Jerry Seville was his sidekick, And he started preaching out of Ephesians on the authority of the believer and messed my head up. And it's been messed up ever since. And so anyway, I love Ephesians, but I just want to read some. Let me just read a few verses, and I'll read until my time's up, and then I'll do something else. Ephesians chapter 3, let me read you out of there, starting with verse 14. Isn't God good? Man, isn't he good? For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's Paul's praying a prayer here. He prayed a prayer here. He prayed one in the first chapter. He prayed this one here. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what reason is he talking about? Why is he praying this? Why is he going before God? He talks here in this chapter about the mystery. How many has ever heard of Paul talking about the mystery? And we like to think that some of this word is so mysterious that we can't ever learn it and all that, but that isn't true, because he said he gave us his Holy Spirit to show us all the word. But the mystery was, in verse 6, it says, this was the mystery that Paul talked about. He said, the mystery was, are you listening? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. You get that? That was the mystery that no longer was what God wanted to do just for the Jews, just for the chosen few. Now the mystery is that God was going to use Paul to preach this gospel to everyone. I'm glad. How about you? Then he says, of which I become a minister according to the gift and the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. He says, the gospel. The gospel. He says, for this reason I bow my knee. You know what that reason was? You. Me. You. You know what that reason was? Everybody say, me. He's bowing his knee now for you, for this reason. So that we can all know the gospel. What's the gospel? What picture do you get in your mind when you think of the gospel? Do you get in your mind a picture of the rules of stuff I don't do and the stuff I do, and then the stuff that ends up being do, and all the rest of that, you know, and our lives just get all confused and we just don't know which ends up. The gospel is simply this. The gospel is the good news about the good things that a good God did for all of us, gave all of us through his good Son, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Woo, I like that. I ain't got very far with this prayer, have I? I'm just talking. When I run out of time, I'll shut up and we'll talk some more next week. But for this reason, I bow my knee. What's the reason? Me. Four of us got that. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How many saved? How many's part of the family? That's what we were doing a while ago. We were saying, shaking hands, telling people our names. And listen, if somebody, just because somebody shook your hand and told you, you told them your name, don't expect them to remember that next week. Tell them again next week what your name is. Okay? I'm just excited that I remembered Julie and Charlie for over 5 minutes, you know. But I'm working on it. I'm getting better. My mind's getting sharp. Huh? Anyway, the whole family, we're all named. We're all named Jesus. We're all named Jesus. But anyway, it says, from whom the whole family on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Holy Spirit in your inner man. You see what He's saying? He's saying, I'm bowing my knee. Ooh, I'm bowing my knee so God can do something on the inside of you. So I'm believing Him to strengthen you in your inner person. I'm believing Him to do something to you on the inside of you, and you'll never be the same again. Whew. I've been reading this. I had to quit reading it this morning because every time I read it, my mind goes a whole bunch of different directions. Isn't that exciting? Man, God's alive. He's alive. He doesn't. I thought the other day about being down and discouraged. I thought, well, I just won't do that today. Maybe tomorrow, but I won't do it today. But He's alive, and He wants to do big things in our life. He wants us to be excited about Him. And He says, man, so you'll be strengthened in your inner person. How many know when you get something down here, out here takes care of itself? Huh? That's why He says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength isn't whether all the circumstances worked out right for me today. My joy isn't in whether you came to church or didn't come to church. My joy isn't in any blessing that I got today. My blessing isn't anything that God did for me or didn't do for me. No, my joy is in the Lord. And when you get that joy down deep inside of you, all this stuff out here can't faze you. Let me just say something. If this stuff out here is bothering you, huh? If any of this stuff out here is bothering you, get to work on this in here. Say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me in my inner person. Woo! Give me that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Put it down in my heart. Just stir it up, Holy Spirit. Well, we'll either be a blessing or a curse. I want to be a blessing when I get around you, huh? I want to be a blessing, man. Where am I? My goodness. That you be strengthened by might through the Holy Spirit in your inner man. You understand, we're not talking about mind over matter. We're not talking about just psyching yourself out. We're talking about the Holy Spirit inside of you, doing a work inside of you that changes you, and you're never the same again. That's what I want. How about you? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I like that phrase. All the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, fill us with all the fullness of our Father. Just keep filling us and filling us and filling us. I want to be so full that it's just running over. Huh? I don't want to just be filled up to the brim. I want it to be rolling over the brim. Huh? Now to Him, and that's who we're talking about today, is Him. Huh? That name that's above every name. Him. Woo! Him, man. We was at our 50th reunion last year, and Kenny is trying to get in on that reunion, but his 50th was last year, so he always was older than us, wasn't he, Diane? I remember I was coming out of the building, out of the parking lot, and I don't know why, I just got so fun. I looked at the other end of the parking lot, and there was Kenny and Gary Powers talking, and I just yelled out, "Isn't Jesus wonderful?" He is. You know, every once in a while, that just gets so strong in there, I just can't keep it in there. I got to let it out, because if I try to hold it in there, I'll just bust. Now, some of you came today thinking about being down, and you wanted to be discouraged, and you wanted to feel sorry for yourself, and you wanted everybody to play their fiddle for you, but you know what? It's not working, is it? It's not working, because something's happening inside of you. That's called the joy of the Lord. And that can happen. You don't have to be in a service for that to happen. That can happen any time in your life. You just get alone with God and just get alone with the Father and just start worshiping Him. Just start telling Him how good He is. Just push all the other stuff out and just start telling Him how good He is and how big He is. Something will happen in there. He loves for us to brag on Him. Huh? Whew. God, I don't know what I was going to say about this scripture to start with, but it's okay. Is it okay? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Woo! I like that, exceedingly abundantly. Huh? What are you thinking about? Says what we can ask or think. What are you thinking about? What are you asking for? Well, I don't want to ask for too much, because I'm afraid I might bankrupt God. I don't want to ask for too much, because if He gives me too much, He might not be able to give Kenny enough. Folks, we've fallen for a lie from the enemy. He knows that God has created us so that we can use our faith and accomplish anything we set our mind to. We can use our faith in God, our faith in Jesus, and we can accomplish, we can achieve, we can do great things. But if He can keep me thinking little, if He can keep me thinking small, then that's how I use my faith. True? True. Why don't you stretch yourself? Huh? I told a guy a while ago, I saw him, he was clicking the thing on his truck, and I saw him, and I looked over, and I said, "Hey, a rich man owns that truck." He said, "Well, I don't know." I said, hold it. That's a prophecy. Take it. Huh? Kenny, what did I say last night? Gary asked me, he said, "What are you driving?" I said, "Right over there." I said, "A rich guy owns that vehicle, man." Well, and I just, okay. Well, you know, Jesus said, "As your faith is, so be it." Able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. Now, what's stopping you from thinking and asking isn't God, and it isn't the Holy Spirit. It's you, and it's me. Huh? It's you and it's me. This thing, this 5 or 6 inches between my ears, either helps me or it hurts me. And if I can renew it with the Word of God, then this thing helps me. If all I'm going to do is listen to the news and think about all the evil report and think about all the woes in the world and think about all the bad things that are happening, then this thing limits me. If I'm going to think about who I am in Christ Jesus, and the reason I am that is because of what Jesus did, and when I realize and start to renew my mind and realize that I'm the righteousness of God, that I'm in right standing with Him, that I have favor with Him, that when I walk, He pays attention, He cares about every area of my life, when I start thinking that way, this mind helps me. When I start thinking, "Well, you know, you're sure not no Keith Moore, you're sure not no this, you're sure not no that, you know, well, yeah, if you was a little bit more talented, yeah, if you were a little bit prettier, yeah, if you were a little bit this, if that," when I start thinking about how when that esteem, when my esteem starts dropping, this thing is still working. It's still using its faith. Only I'm using my faith believing the devil's lies instead of God's truth. Well, I don't know where that came from, but exceeding abundantly. Now, can I say something? What God's after? He's after a relationship with me. He's not after just giving me a bunch of toys so I can be a spoiled brat. He's after a relationship with me. He's after a loving relationship with me. He's after He wants to show me. He wants for my life, for me to be a demonstration of His glory. Huh? And that's not, you know, I don't have anything to do with it. All I do is believe. I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm not worthy. I know nothing I could do would be good enough. But are you with me? I just believe it because of Jesus. I believe it because of Him. Because of Him. So after a while, when you go home and when you're at home and tomorrow and when you're back in the regular routine and you start thinking that same old way, that same old defeated, that same old, well, I'm just kind of, boy, sure as life's a hard old grind, man. I just, man, I'm just praying that I can make it again till next Sunday so I can go and get pumped up again. And when you start thinking that, won't you just stop it and say, no, I thought that way last week. I'm going to think different this week. Just do it. Just make a choice. And just say, Father, I choose to think the way You think about me, not the way I think about me. See what begins to change. Now, your enthusiasm's about to, you know, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. But He says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Huh? Not the power He comes down, the power that works in us. Well, what's that power? Well, let's look at the first prayer He prayed in the first chapter. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, how many think we might be in Ephesians for a few weeks? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Stop right there. What's He praying that we get? He's praying that we get the spirit of wisdom and the spirit and the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom, the wisdom of God, and the knowledge of Jesus. The knowledge of God. What did He say in that second prayer? Let me just read it. He said that you might, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. He's saying, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation of God and how He feels about you. A revelation of what Jesus has done for you. Goes on here. He says, I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm excited. He says, a knowledge of Him that so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. The knowledge of Him, the wisdom of God, so your understanding will be enlightened, so that you will see things different. Huh? So you will think different. You'll think about Him instead of thinking about you. Does that make sense? That you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? The hope of His calling. Let me just take a second. Do you want to know what God's hope is? You're His hope. You're the hope of His calling. You're the reason He did everything He did. You're the reason Jesus came down. You're the reason He went to the cross. Don't you let the devil belittle you. Don't let your own mind belittle you. Don't you let family and friends and things belittle you. Some of you think about something a teacher told you when you were in grade school, and that thing still haunts you. You're never going to amount to nothing. I know a guy that the teacher told him when he was in the fourth grade, said, "You're going to end up in prison somewhere." You know where he's at now? He's in prison. You're the hope of his calling. You're the reason why. You're the reason why he did what he did. Square them shoulders off. So I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Now my righteousness is like filthy old rags, but I'm not, I don't operate in that. I don't have that anymore. I have his righteousness. I'm not in right standing with him because of me or anything I do. I'm in right standing with him because of what Jesus did. Him. I don't know about you, in my Bible, him is in capital letters. Huh? Him. Well, Corey, me and you getting excited anyway. You're the hope of his calling. I was reading, I'm not going to get very far much further with this, I can tell, but I don't care. Are you getting anything? That's all that matters. It isn't whether I can go home and say I did a good sermon, or somebody asked me last night, had my 50th reunion, somebody asked me, said, "Well, what are you going to preach about tomorrow, Hank?" I said, "Man, I don't know." I said, "I don't know if I'll preach." I said, "I think I'll probably just get up there and talk a little bit." Man, I've been preached at enough, haven't you? Huh? I just need to hear something from the Spirit of God. Huh? Where was I going with that? Anyway. You know, I read the Bible through every year, and you know, and all that. But I just got through with Jeremiah, and now I'm almost through with Ezekiel. Man, I'm telling you what, some of them chapters bother me. I was in the middle of Jeremiah, and I was going, and I just two or three times I just had to say, "God, I don't like this chapter. I don't like this book." I mean, you ever notice about through the Old Testament, man, that man, God's mad at everybody. He's killing everybody. Huh? Man, he's letting them be taken captive. He's doing all this stuff. You know, I heard a preacher go, "Well, you know, that really wasn't the way God was," and try to explain that different. No, listen, he was mad. He was angry. But you know why he was mad? What he was angry at? Sin. Sin. Huh? This is what I felt like the Spirit told me. God was so... How many know when you get hurt, you'll exhibit madness and anger and... Huh? When you're hurt... Matter of fact, the more... If somebody's being real mean and hateful to you, something's hurting them. They've been hurt some way. If you can get past yourself and get through that thing and peel a few layers of that off, you can help get them set free because they've been hurt. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that when somebody hurts my feelings or hurts me, man, I'm where I spit, the grass won't grow. God's heart was so broken when his creation gave away everything that he had made for him. His heart was so broken. And I just saw this, and this is no big revelation, but it was to me. And because I'm asking God, I'm saying, "God, I just don't like this, some of this stuff in this Old Testament, because, man, it's so regulated and so rules and so this, and you're so mad all the time, and I'm learning, I'm trying to find anything, like Matt, when he goes, I'm gonna come, your enemy's gonna come, they're gonna take you," but he always goes, but if you'll repent, you know, and so I'm hunting those little segments out so I can handle the rest of this, you know. What I saw was, I saw that all through the Old Testament, I just saw this anger and madness and this wrath and I love what, where is that? Isaiah 54. I love what it says. God says, "For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath. Have you read the Old Testament lately? With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And when I was asking questions, he took me that portion of scripture. He goes on to say, hey man, I'm not going to be angry with you anymore. I'm not going to be mad at you anymore. The heavens, the mountains will crumble. But my word, I won't change, man. It's mark it down. But I saw, all this anger. He's so mad and and I saw all this going all through the Old Testament. And then I just saw a picture of the cross. Now I'm just seeing this straight line, and all I see is mean and ugly and mad and wrath, and then I see this cross. How many ever, when you was a little kid, played with a magnifying glass? How many know you could get the old sun, and you could go, and you could just zero that into a little spot? What happens? It starts fire, doesn't it? You can just zero that sunlight right into the little tiny little spot there. This is what I saw. I saw the cross. All that mad, all that anger, all that wrath, focused right down to one little spot, and it hit the cross. He poured all his wrath, all the power, like all the power of the sun will start that fire, all the power of his wrath focused right down on his only begotten son. And it's no wonder Jesus said, my God, why did you forsake me? Every bit of mad at me, every bit of penalty for my sin, every bit of unrighteousness, every bit of it was put on that cross, was put on that man that hung on that tree. Whew. Let's take a break. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Then I saw this line. And after that cross, there's only one big word, two big words, grace and mercy. After that cross, there's only grace and mercy. You hear people call it the church age, the age of grace, whatever terminology we've learned. No, it's grace for me. While I was a sinner, he went to that cross. Grace and mercy. If we could just put this message out, I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you've done. All there is grace and mercy. Amen. We like to preach it if you'll meet my requirements. I mean, we want to preach it if you'll dress up to the church code. No, man. Grace and mercy. For a little while, Hank, I hid my face. For a mere moment, I was mad at you. A moment? Whoo! I don't want none of those moments. And we're in this period now of grace. Folks, it's an opportunity for us to reach everybody that doesn't know Jesus, everybody that doesn't know who He is. And I'm talking about a lot of Christians that don't know who He is. It's our time. It's our time, this grace and mercy period. It's our time to reach everybody we can reach with this love of God that we're rooted and grounded in. Share this knowledge, this revelation with them. At the end of this grace period, some other stuff's going to happen. There's going to be one's called the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we all give account for everything we do. Is this okay? It has to be, because this isn't where I was going with this. But this is where the Holy Spirit's going with this. Those of us that are saved, what did you do with what I did for you? What did you do with what I gave you, Hank? What did you do? Well, I forgot to ask people until you reminded me on Wednesday. How many know it's easy to be a preacher and stand up here and tell people what they ought to do? My only problem is that I try to do everything I tell you to do. Man, that's hard. That's why I'm a lot easier on you than some would be. And then on down, you know, and I don't know, man, we got all the, you know, I could sit here and tell you all the order of things, how we've got it all figured out, but I'm not sure we got it figured out after all, you know. But then come on down the line comes the judgment seat of the great white throne judgment, where where the great white throne judgment is designed for the devil and his angels. That's why God made hell, was for the devil and his angels. And he doesn't want any human beings to go there. But if we don't accept Jesus, that's where we go. But the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. You say, well, God, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. I didn't ask to be born. I've said that before. Don't raise your hand. It's just not fair. I didn't ask to be born. Just make me born so you can send me to hell. No. That's why I made it so easy. If you'll just call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Huh? Talking to a guy last night, and I said, and he had a beer in front of him, and I'm talking to him about this. And I said, hey, he didn't say if you didn't drink that beer, you'd go to heaven. He said, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Me and Gary, we like to go to our class reunions because we just tell everybody about Jesus. Huh? Now, when you call on the name of the Lord, I'm just gonna warn you ahead of time. A little while down the line, that beer won't taste good to you anymore. Huh? So let's focus on don't drink that. No, let's focus on call on the name of the Lord. Huh? Because I'm finding out it's almost 44 years, Kitty, since I walked in over on 26th Street. February the 10th will be 44 years. And I thought for sure when I walked in there, by now, I'd have all my stuff straightened out. I was convinced I would. And I'm going to tell you, some days now, I feel like a bigger mess now than I did then. Am I talking to anybody? Oh, but I have a Savior. I have Him, boy. I have Him. And I'm telling you what, every time I'm learning everything I face, everything, all the thoughts that come to my mind, all the imaginations, I'm able to cast them down if I look at that cross. Every time I'm thinking God's mad at me, I just go back and look at that cross. That cross where He put it all on Him. He put it all on Him. Whew. Man, I don't know. I'm going to quit here. I've talked myself happy. If you're here today and you don't know Him, that's why you're here. Oh, listen, I know some folks around you, they think you're saved. They think you're right. But in your heart, you don't know that and you don't think that. Man, I had some good stuff to tell you here too, but we're going to quit. See, when it comes that time that either one of them judgment things, it's just going to be, when it's my turn, it's just going to be me and Jesus. I'm not going to say, well, but Kenny said. But you know, Dave, you know, he said this, and you know, I would have done better if it wouldn't have been for, you know, them. If Nate wouldn't have done that to me, I would have. No, it's just going to be me and Jesus. And I just want to look him in the eye. And I just want to say, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that you're just able to take me right on through to wherever we're going. That's why I don't worry too much about all the order and when this is going to happen and when that's going to happen. You know, the world was supposed to end the 23rd of last month by some folks, you know. I had somebody from Arkansas, my church down in Arkansas, one of my old flock, and they said, Hank, what do you think? I said, I don't think. I don't even think about that stuff. I just got to find somebody else to tell them about Jesus today. I just got to find somebody else and try to pull them a little bit closer to the Lord. Huh? Because see, I'm learning as my knowledge of Him grows. As I get that revelation of Him and that knowledge of Him grows, my faith grows. Huh? Because the more that I get, the more I realize ain't much of it depends on me. It all depends on Him. So all I have to do is have faith in Him. That, what did that scripture say? That Christ may dwell in you by faith. Faith in what? Faith in His love. Faith in what He did for me. You know, if you're here today and you don't know that you're right, that's why you're here. And I'm believing that you'll get that question settled today. But I think maybe there's some in here that... I told Kenny last night, I sit there and I listened to this stuff all week last week, and when I was going home, I told Pam, I said, you know what? It's amazing how easy we drift. I mean, you know, we sit here, I've been talking for 30 minutes, and you know, well, y'all aren't squirming today, but a lot of times people be squirming. Sit down there and listen to Keith after 2.5 hours. Isn't that right, Corey? 2.5 hours. Man, I'm really squirming. I'm going, man. Thank God for 30-minute sermons, but it's so good I couldn't quit listening. I told Pam, I said, you know, isn't it amazing how far? I said, it just makes me realize how far I drifted. I used to sit and listen for 3 or 4 hours. It didn't bother me. I said, but you know what the good thing about when you drift away? I said, the good thing is you can just drift right back. Huh? Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to keep you 1.5 hours, 2 hours, okay? I'm not going to do that to you. But how many know we drift? We just drift. Oh, we still love the Lord, but we drift. And I don't know, maybe today could just be a time for you when you say, you know, Lord, I want to drift towards you and not away from you. I want to, Holy Spirit, help me examine my life. Help me, show me a true picture of me. Do it easily. Go easy on me. But let me see. And you know, He does that so tenderly and so delicately. He doesn't, when you hear that voice going, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's what you've made Him into be. Because the devil's put all that mad and all that anger and all that stuff in there. No, He deals with you tenderly because He loves you. He wants you to see the Father's heart. Father loves you. So when you drift, I just go, you know, Lord, I see I've kind of drifted here, but I just want to drift back towards You. I just love You. And you know what? He knows everything about you to start with, so nothing you did surprises Him. Huh? All He wants is our heart. Our heart to go after Him. And the Bible says He looks down across, see anybody whose heart is loyal to Him, anybody whose heart is reaching out to Him. Why? What does He do when He finds them? He proves Himself strong in their behalf. I want God to bless you. I want Him to be so big in your life that when I say a sermon, you don't even hear what I'm saying. You're just listening to what the Holy Spirit's telling you. I want your relationship to be so deep with Him that you just walk through all the junk this world's got and you just walk through with a smile on your face, but you got a smile inside because the joy of the Lord's your strength. And nobody can do that for me. I have to do it for myself. So I just choose to. I don't know how, Hank. I don't either, but I just choose to. If I choose to be there, the Holy Spirit will lead me and put me right there. Is that okay? Boy, we went a bunch of ways here. Everybody stand. I quit 6 minutes ago and I'm still talking. What's that mean? I want to open up the altars to you. If you need to, if you don't know that you're right with the Lord, come down here and I have some people. If there's just any question at all, maybe you've prayed the prayer, maybe you've even lived for Him before, but you just know you're not right, just come down and tell one of us and we want to pray with you. Maybe I'm just going to open the altars up if you want to come and just dedicate, if you just want to come and talk to the Lord, if you just got anything in there that He's been talking to you about, just come and say, Lord, I make the choice to take care of that. To take care of that. Go ahead and sing. This, come if you need to come. Somebody here needs to be baptized in water. If that's you, come on. We got robes and towels and somebody to do it. Somebody here, you've been sick, but you know the Bible says if we'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, that you'll be healed. If you need to come, come. We won't prolong. We won't keep you a long time. If you need to come, come. Remember, these altars are always open. You don't have to wait for the end of the service. Man, you can come down in the song service. You can come down while I'm talking. But when God's touching you and dealing with you about something, man, just say, God, I want to take care of that. I want that. I make that choice. He's just looking for that heart that's moving towards Him. That's moving towards Him. If you need to come, come. Who else? Come on, I knew. Come on, it's not even noon yet. Come on, you need to come, come. If you need to come, even after I dismiss here, come down and let one of us pray with you. Oh, because there's nothing more important. Nothing more important than God being big in your life. Okay? Did you get anything today? Huh? Come on, clap. Make me think you did anyway. Huh? Oh, I love you. I'll just say something. We got some exciting times coming up. Huh? Exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. Do I have anybody in here this week that would dare to ask for some big things? Is that all? Who will dare to ask for some big things? I know you're praying for that sale, but why not pray for 10 sales this week? Huh? And remember, whatever you ask for, God's not going to run out. And if you ask for too much, He's still got enough for me too. Okay? Woo! Isn't God good? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Tell Him right now how wonderful He is. Tell Him right now how much you love Him. Woo! Father, we give our heart to You fresh. We don't want to drift away. We want to drift towards You. So God, we just thank You for Your love for us. And I ask this week, I speak that we'll all get more of a revelation of the knowledge of Him. That we'll get that spirit of wisdom from You, Father. And I speak His blessings on you. And I believe Him to do some unimaginable things this week. How many will receive it? How many say, that's for me? Say, that's for me. Reach out and get it. That's for me. Hey, I love you. Thank you for putting up with me. If you need anybody to pray with you about something, come on down. Love you. See you next time. We'll be here tonight at 6 over in the fellowship hall if you got time.